Well, welcome back, everyone. We are here with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, and we are opening up to the book of Romans. Beth, thank you so much for teaching us today. Let's begin.
Thanks, Amy. Okay, so today we talked about how we are new creations in Christ, that the old has been crucified with him, and that we are new in him. And today we're going to see what we need to do next. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans chapter 6. We're going to be in verses 11 through 14. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. Without the knowledge that we are dead to sin and alive in Christ, as Paul explained in verses 1 through 10, what Paul is about to share here isn't going to make sense. Who is your boss? Who's in charge of your body? Are you letting sin be in charge of your body so that you obey sin? I like how Paul says this. Do not offer yourself. In other translations, it is present yourself. The imagery that this invokes is very explicit. Picture a dinner party, 7 full courses. You're the host. You have asked your guests to dress in formal attire. Would you set the table with plastic silverware? Paper plates? Dixie cups? Probably not. You would prepare the table with the good silverware, the only for company plates and glasses. There would even be a real tablecloth on the table, no plastic placemats with the solar system printed on it. Not that we have any of those in our house. You would take time and consider, what silverware will they need? Will there be a soup course? Will wine be served with dinner? That way, you would be able to prepare the table appropriately. In that same way, we are to take the time to prepare ourselves to be used for God. We are to consider what our use might be, to learn how he might want to use us, and to go on from there. We are to be ready to follow where he calls us, to learn to hear his voice so that when he does call, we know his voice. This preparation involves not only learning to hear his voice, as we are his sheep and he is our shepherd, and this is not an audible voice that we're talking about here either. This is learning how to discern what the Bible says and what is truth and what God is really doing. But as we are learning to discern those things, we are called to present ourselves as instruments of righteousness. We have some serious work to do. We must not offer any part of ourselves to sin. This includes, but is not limited to, our tongues, our touch, our gestures, our body language, our ears, our hearts, our eyes. If we say we are following Christ, but we justify dressing in ways that are dishonoring to him, we're liars. If we say we follow Christ, but we are justify the use of words or tones that are damaging to those around us, again, we're liars. The mortal body is the only thing left where a believer is vulnerable to sin. The believer's hearts have been transformed, as it says in Ezekiel 36, verses 26 through 27, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you that and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." This body that we have, this mortal dying body, it's still a problem. Then keep in mind, our brains are part of our bodies. Our thoughts can still stray. Our eyes can still lead us into temptation. But sin must first pass through our will before we succumb to it. Remember what Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. God will provide a way out. Sin does not have to reign in our bodies. Those who belong to Christ will not allow it to do so. Again, this doesn't mean Christians don't sin. but it does mean that sin is no longer in control. I recently had the chance to talk to a dear friend of mine, and she expressed the grief she feels over her inability to gain control over her temper, especially as it relates to her family. Now, this is something she struggled with for literally years, and it continues to be an issue for her heart. She was at a point where she wondered if this was something she would ever have mastery over. We were able to encourage her, at least I hope she was encouraged, that the very fact that she hates the sin that is at war in her members shows the growth God is making in her heart. She's grown so much toward God in the past couple of years and continues to grow, learning what it looks like in her daily life to follow God and the challenges and blessings that come with it. This example of my friend who is struggling with this sin, who hates her sin and wants it gone, that's not what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about the choice to sin, the justifying of our pet sins that we don't want to give up, the desire to excuse our sins because we just can't help it. That is not what my friend was expressing. Her deepest desire is to be free from this sin, to learn how to control her members to glorify God. She sees the destructiveness of this sin and wants it gone. She doesn't want to hold on to it, and she is disgusted that she can't seem to help it sometimes. There is a tension between what God has already done in our lives and our responsibility to obey and not let sinful desires take hold of us again. There's a war in our members, our sinful flesh versus God's redeeming work in our lives. At the end of the day, sin will not defeat the Christian. That's a promise, not a command. We aren't supposed to defeat sin on our own. We can't. Without the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we don't even want to defeat sin. So this is not telling us, you there, go, defeat sin. It's saying, continue in the way you have begun, and sin will lose its hold on you through Christ's power, not your own. But that can't happen if we continue to prepare to sin. If we're preparing ourselves to present ourselves to sin, that's not being in Christ. If we try to find ways to do evil and get away with it, or to make excuses for why we aren't responsible for our sins, and therefore God can't hold it against us, if we're making excuses for our sins instead of striving toward the righteousness that He has called us to, we're only fooling ourselves. If our goal is anything less than to bring glory to Him, we're missing our purpose. As He continues to shine His light in our lives, to change and grow us so we become more and more like Him, the change in our lives takes place and points to Him. My friend, she knows that there's no way she can control her temper on her own. She's tried. Didn't work. When she sees success in her daily life, she gives all praise and glory to God because she knows her own heart and she knows what her natural inclination is, to sin. Because the law, which is good and holy, it was given by God, remember, cannot be kept by imperfect humans, it doesn't bless us, it curses us. It becomes a snare, a chain, weighing us down as we try to keep the law on our own power. Only we can't. The law doesn't help us keep God's moral standard. In fact, as we saw a few days ago, the law actually makes our sins all the more stark of a contrast to His holiness. Believers, however, are no longer under the law as a condition of acceptance by God. Stop there for a second. The law is still valuable. It still shows us what is of value to God. It still shows us His nature, and it points to what He values and prizes most. Think of the Ten Commandments. Five of those deal directly with our relationship with God, and the other five deal with our relationships with other people. Because we no longer need the law to be accepted by God, we are under grace, which enables us to fulfill the law's righteous requirements based off of Christ's righteousness and the sacrifice which He imputed to us. So no, the law doesn't help us to be accepted by God, but the law is still valuable in terms of honoring God out of gratitude and a desire to be in line with what He values. So, my question for all of us today is this. Do we hate the sin we commit? Do we hate it, or have we grown used to it? Are you comfortable with your sin and you shrug and say, oh, well, I'll never master that, so I just won't worry about that anymore? Or do you hate the sin you commit? Do you see where your flesh is weak and where you need Him to work in your heart to make the changes He has in store for your life? Do you see more clearly your need for Him as you examine your sinful heart? May we all examine our hearts today and hate the sin that is alive in our members. May we trust and rely on Him more and more each day to show us how to offer ourselves as instruments of righteousness for His glory alone.
Well, thank you so much, Beth. And remember, ladies, all of the notes and these 10-minute podcasts can be found at naomistable.com under the Bible Studies tab. We will take a break and be right back to talk more about today's lesson.